Impasse by Amanda Watkins.
Braxford is more of a small town than a village. It has all the usual amenities you would expect to find on the high street. Bank, post office, charity shops, butcher, baker, no candlestick maker, and a pharmacy, plus two pubs and a cinema. There's a reservoir, garden centre, and DIY store on the outskirts of town, but no castle or stately home. In fact, nothing to attract tourists at all. The High Street didn't know what hit them when Joe and Marion Taylor arrived and took over the pharmacy. They completely gutted the shop, out with the old and in with shiny new counters and display units, a separate consulting room, a state-of-the-art dispensary, and a triple-glazed frontage. Joe and Marion had been dispensing pharmacies for years, Joe at a large branch of Boots and Marion in a hospital, and they'd always wanted to have their own pharmacy. They were an instant hit. They were warm, friendly and knowledgeable. Nothing was too much trouble, and they would frequently deliver medications out of hours and to the elderly and infirm. They joined local clubs and societies and soon became part of the community. They were, to all intents and purposes, the ideal couple. They met just before they both qualified, fell in love and married as soon as they got their first jobs. They had one child, Annabelle, who was 12 when they moved to Braxford. Now, at the age of 22, she was on a boat on a warm sea somewhere, learning how to scuba dive, in preparation for what she hoped would be a future as a marine biologist. Outwardly, Joe and Marion appeared to enjoy a happy relationship. But, you know, when a small crack appears in a dam, if it isn't fixed early, it'll turn into a fissure and then fracture.
You opened up, Marion?
Of course I have. It's 8:40. You saw me unlock the door only 10 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, not concentrating too well this morning.
Well, you're right there. I suggest you either start concentrating or leave the dispensing to me this morning.
Yeah, look, Marion, I know I'm beginning to sound like an old record, but I seriously want to sit down with you and discuss retirement.
Oh, that again. Is that what's bugging you this morning? I don't know what you want to discuss. Why do you want to retire? We could go on for quite a few more years. I love what we do and I'm nowhere near ready to retire.
Well, I do. I've been trying to tell you for ages, but every time I try to talk about it...
Good morning, Mrs. Parkin. You're bright and early this morning. Mr. Parkin's medication is ready for you. Here you are. Oh, no. The dose is the same, it's just slightly different packaging. Not at all. Take care now. What were you saying, Joe?
You know perfectly well what I was saying. We need some time to ourselves to sit down and discuss this properly.
Well, just say the word and I'm all yours.
Is that right? When do you think that might be? I mean, you really don't have much spare time between work, Tai Chi, your book club, the Towns Women's Guild. We barely had time to... Mr. Harrison, fresh prescription. Well, let's have a look. Oh, I see what the doctor's done. These tablets might suit you better. Yeah, they'll be ready in about half an hour or so. If you have some shopping to do, pop out and do that and we'll get this ready for you. So, when do you anticipate having some time for an uninterrupted discussion?
Well, let's see. It's Tuesday today, so it's book club. I told Sue Franklin that I'd go to a fashion show tomorrow evening. It's in aid of charity, so I didn't like to say no. Thai cheese on Thursday. Oh, and I don't think I told you, but Wendy and Bill have asked us over for supper on Friday.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Well, we just have to talk on the way to and from work and to and from Wendy and Bill's. I know you don't want to talk about it, but I do. It's bothering me, and we don't get a chance here. We... Sir, how can I help you?
Shall I take first lunch, Joe? I want to nick up to Dale's to get some vegetables for tonight. Oh, by the way, we've had an email from Brenda Cox. It seems she knows our 25th wedding anniversary is coming up and they want to make it a bit of an occasion. Isn't that sweet? I wonder how they knew.
Well, if you remember, our girls were at school together. They've stayed in touch. I expect Annabelle mentioned it to Lily, who then told Brenda.
Oh, yes. I'd forgotten that.
Well, I wouldn't expect you to remember anything that concerned our daughter. You never took an interest in her while she was growing up.
That's not fair, Joe. I was never unkind to her, and she had a decent education. She seems happy enough. I just wasn't as besotted with her as you were.
I knew as soon as she was born that I was going to have to be mother and father to her. It wasn't her fault that you didn't possess a maternal bone in your body.
I told you right from the start that I didn't want children. When we slipped up and found she was on the way, I hoped I'd feel differently once she was born. But I didn't. I was nice enough to her, and she had you dancing attendance on her.
Anyway, that's undoubtedly how Brenda knows. But I certainly won't be going.
Well, that'll look a bit odd, won't it? Why ever not?
For a start, it would be highly hypocritical. I just can't stand there smiling politely while they all heap congratulations on us and ask if we're doing anything special. Yeah, they'll no doubt produce a special cake, pour some Prosecco and wish us many more happy years. I just can't do it. I mean, tell me, Marion, when did we last have a happy year?
Oh, my. We are in a cynical mood today, aren't we? I'm going out for the vegetables. Your lunch is on the counter in the back and the kettle's boiled. Mrs. Hughes, and is that little Alfie? He's looking very bonny. I expect you're enjoying your lollipop, aren't you, Alfie? I'm just on my way out. Joe will be happy to help you. Well, that was very pleasant, wasn't it? That birth bulking long was delicious. I wonder if Wendy would mind if I asked her for the recipe.
Right, Marion, we have a 15-minute walk ahead of us. Can we please discuss the possibility of retirement?
I really don't know where this idea has come from. We're both more than capable of continuing for several more years. We're not 60 yet, for goodness sake.
I want more out of life before it's too late. All we do is work, work, work. The few breaks we have managed haven't been very long, and you fretted all the time in case the locums we got in were making a mess of things, which, of course, they never were. And then there's us. What's happened to us, Marion? We used to be so close, and now we barely have anything to say to each other. Okay, we work together every day, but outside of the shop, we don't communicate. I'm sorry, Marion. I really am, but I think we should separate. I don't know what went wrong. All I know is I don't want to go on like this.
Separate? Well, I didn't see that coming. The business is successful and thriving. We have other activities outside of work. I agree that we're not as close as we were, but we rub along, don't we? Is it so intolerable?
Frankly, yes. I want to travel more. I'd love to go out and visit Annabelle. I like to think that somewhere along the line, I might meet a new partner.
I see. And does Angela Finch feature in your plans?
What on earth has Angela Finch got to do with it?
One or two well-meaning souls have mentioned that you've been seen having coffee at Vito's with her a few times.
I have bumped into her when I popped out for a coffee. That's true, but yeah, why not? Having coffee with someone you know is pretty commonplace, would you say? Didn't realise we were getting the local gossips excited.
Everyone knows that just 3 years after she married our most popular local vet, he began an affair with the secretary of the golf club. So it could be that she's on the lookout for a new partner too.
Yeah, you're letting your imagination run away with you. I like Angela, it's true. And we've had coffee 2 or 3 times, but that's that. But we digress. I seriously want out, Marion, of the business and... sadly, our marriage.
It's a lot to take in, Joe. Let me think about it. Here we are. You've got the key, haven't you? Now I want to get the next drugs ordering and the veg for tomorrow's dinner need prepping. Which do you want to do?
See what I mean? Never any relaxation, is there?
So, there was an impasse. Marion managed to sidestep any serious discussions about retirement. There seemed to be no end of urgent demands for her attention. If it wasn't customers, it was phone calls, appointments, evening classes or clubs. 3 days before their 25th wedding anniversary and the inevitable, excruciating, in Joe's view, evening at the gardening club,
I'll put the dishes in the dishwasher and change for Tai Chi. Who was that on the phone?
Yeah, it was Derek Scott's son. He forgot to pick up Derek's prescription for his epilepsy earlier, and he's run out. I thought I'd run them over for him. I can't, can I? Yeah, because you'll have the car.
Oh, that's okay. Give them to me. It's only a 3-minute detour if I go over the bridge and along the reservoir road.
Well, I suppose so. Not too keen on that road in the dark.
Oh, don't fuss. The lights on the car are fine.
Well, OK. Thanks, if you're sure. Your coffee's on the sideboard, by the way. Don't let it get cold.
And off she went with Derek's pills. Later that evening, there was a knock on the door. Joe opened it to find 2 sombre-faced policemen standing there. Marion's car had come off the road and gone into the reservoir. They weren't sure of the exact time, but a passing vehicle noticed red rear lights shining through the water and called the emergency services. They were very sorry, but they were too late to save Marion. There would be a forensic examination of the car to see why it had happened, and they asked if there was anyone they could call and offered to leave a family liaison officer with him. But Joe said no. No, he'd rather be alone and he'd contact their daughter himself. But it wasn't his daughter he called.
Angela? Yeah, it worked. Yeah, adding the ketamine did the trick. I don't know. Yeah, whether there's bound to be an inquest and the car will be examined, of course. Yeah. Yeah, it seemed to think she fell asleep at the wheel. How careless. Yeah, I'll let you know. Yes, in the meantime, we'll just have to be patient until the investigation and inquest are over.
The grieving widower broke the news to their daughter, who was upset, but not enough to dash home. A locum was engaged to run the pharmacy for a while and Joe went through the house, mentally disposing of its contents, until he came to Marion's wardrobe. On the floor of the wardrobe, hidden by a dressing gown, was a gift bag. Inside was a rather fine bottle of wine and a card addressed to him.
To dear Joe, I know we're not seeing eye to eye at the moment, but it is our 25th wedding anniversary. We can't let that pass as if it wasn't happening. I don't know what's ahead of us, but let's enjoy this evening with a good bottle of our favourite wine and celebrate the happy years we did have. And then we'll have that talk. Love, Marion.
Nice. Yeah, well, thanks, Marion. Well, my love, I shall certainly open the bottle tomorrow and drink. Not only to our 25 years of marriage, most of which are, must admit, were rather good, but also to what I hope will be 25 years of freedom and travel. And with any luck, fun.
While Joe was making plans for his and Angela's future, the car had been pulled out of the reservoir and examined. It seemed it had been in good working order when the accident occurred, but something was niggling at the investigating officer, and he asked for a post-mortem to be carried out on the body, with interesting results. On the morning after Joe and Marion's anniversary, a detective inspector, a sergeant, and two constables called at Joe's house, but there was no reply. Joe did indeed open the excellent bottle of wine and poured himself a glass, which he raised to Marion's photo and took a couple of generous swigs. Had he not been so sure of himself, so certain that nothing could possibly go wrong with his plan, he might have looked more closely at the seal on the bottle. He might just have noticed the minute needle hole. He might have seen the tiny hole continue down through the cork. But he didn't. He was halfway through his second glass of wine when it occurred to him that the taste wasn't quite right. At the same time, his vision became blurred and he felt dizzy and his chest tightened and a weakness came over him. We don't know for sure, but his last words might have been,
"Oh, shh."
The narrator was played by Margaret Baldwin, Joe by Dave Baldwin, and Marion by Jeanette Bennett. Production was by Dave Baldwin. The music is from bensound.com.